Blog Talk Radio.
Readers Entertainment Radio, where variety is the spice of life.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Behind the Mask. I'm your host, Ed English. Just so everybody knows, we're going to go to a weekly format starting at the end of April, so keep your eyes open for more information on that. Our guest today is New York Times best-selling, well, and USA Today best-selling author, Rochelle Mead. Welcome, Rochelle.
Hi, thank you.
For those who would like to call in with a question, we're going to be talking about Rochelle's Dark Swan graphic novel series, starting with the first book, Stormborn, and her heroine, Eugenie Markham. So if you've got a question about Eugenie and that series, feel free to call in. Our number is 1-646-200-4071. We're also up in the chat room if you've got a question that you want to post there. So, Rochelle, a lot of people that I talk to have been writing for a number of years, and I know that you have many, many books out and have hit both New York Times and USA Today. How did you get started writing?
Writing was something I always wanted to do. Even when I was very little, I was drawing these homemade picture books on my parents' letterhead. And obviously, I kind of progressed past that. And after college, I had a lot of different jobs. That's what happens when you're an English major. And writing unfortunately. And writing wasn't something I really thought I could seriously do. So I worked in offices. I was a teacher. And then I just kind of picked it up again, that same childhood interest, started writing on the side as almost a hobby. And then once I finally finished a book, it occurred to me, you know, maybe I should do something with this. And that was in, I want to say 2005, I started trying to sell my first book, Succubus Blues, and it sold. Very, very lucky to have had that happen, and from there the rest started to follow.
Now, I know that was your first series, and then you've got some other titles that that you've gone with Vampire Academy and now with the Dark Swan series. Which of those titles, I know that some of these are young adult and some of them aren't young adult.
Mm-hmm.
Can you kind of segregate that for me?
Yeah. The Succubus series, also called the Georgina Kincaid series, that's for adults. Dark Swan is also for adults. And then Vampire Academy, which was my last project, was young adult.
Okay. I guess I was thinking that Dark Swan might have been also a young adult title, but I'm assuming that there are some subject matter there that that elevates its status.
Yeah, I would say so, especially in the actual written novel versus the graphic novel. You might need to be an older teen if you are going to venture into that.
Good to know. So, talking about the Dark Swan series, you've got a few books out in that now, right?
Mm-hmm. The third one just came out this month, which was called Iron Crowned, and we're able to announce the fourth one is coming out in January 2012.
Awesome. So now your heroine is Eugenie Markham, who you say is a freelance shaman. Tell us about Eugenie and exactly what a freelance shaman does.
Freelance shaman kind of does a little of everything. The premise of the series is that there's our world where humans live, and then there's this sort of other world where ghosts, fairies, and all sorts of creatures live. And they like to come into our world and bug us. And Eugenie's job is to get rid of them, so that she may actually be exorcising ghosts, a la Ghostbuster style, or she's having battles with malevolent fairies and demons and things like that. So her job is just kind of, she hangs out, gets a phone call, goes off and helps keep the world safe for us.
Well, now, when I think of shaman, I think of, Native American history. Is there some Native American influence here, or is this a different kind of shaman?
It's not tied to any one Native American tradition. There is a couple references. There are a couple references to that, certainly. And, that those traditions have a big emphasis on the spirit world and sort of expanding your mind beyond this world. And so that is touched upon a little. And that was kind of where I intended the series to start, and then it expanded into this all-purpose sort of otherworldly agent. But yeah, there is some of that in there.
So does she have, you know, supernatural, you know, powers, or is she just in tune with that realm and can sense and fight and destroy those beings?
She, well, that is the magic question. When the series starts out, she's very human, and it's exactly like you said. She's kind of in tune with that. She knows the right spells and chants to do. But it's not like an inborn magic. It's a technical thing. Here's what you do to cast out a ghost, and that's kind of where her power is. She's handy in a fight too, and can use a gun. But that's not quite a special power. And then as the series progresses, we find out that actually she may have some other powers she didn't know about when the series started, and those are more in the sort of fantastic, inborn magical realm.
Now, does she fly solo, work alone all the time, or does she have, you know, allies that help her out?
She more or less works solo. We do have a few helpers that come in, and in Stormborn, she actually has three. They're kind of cursed spirits who are bound to her, and they kind of serve her and run errands for her, with mixed results. They're kind of cursed for a reason. They're not exactly moral, upstanding characters. One of them constantly wants to plot her death, but he's bound to obey her, and so they're kind of her sidekicks in the first book.
Okay, cool. Now, one quick question about the series in general from the chat room. You've got book 4 coming out. Do you plan on continuing that series, or is this wrapping it up?
this is going to be a heartbreaking question for some people. The fourth one most likely is going to wrap up the series. That is the plan. It's been outlined, and I have the premise for it, and the series is supposed to end on book 4. Sometimes you start writing these, and suddenly you realize, oh, my gosh, I've run out of room. I'm going to need another. Yeah, that's happened before. At the moment, though, you know, I feel like it's planned well, that it will finish in 4 books. But, you know, ask me in a couple months once that first draft is done, and I'll confirm it for sure. But it is the plan, sadly. It's hard to end, but I sometimes feel it's better with a series, you know, books, TV, movies, to sort of end on a high note. I've seen things that sort of get run into the ground. People just keep dragging them out, especially with TV, you know, and there are stories that should have ended like 3 seasons ago. And I don't want to do that with my books. I would rather have them end the way they're supposed to. Have you wanting more than wishing you'd killed it a while ago.
Okay. Now, the first book in the series is Stormborn, and I know that is currently being worked on, the conversion to a graphic novel that's actually going to be started out as a comic series and then published again as a compilation graphic novel.
Correct.
Are you planning, or is that something that's going to be, you know, that you're going to try to get the whole series through there, or is Stormborn just kind of a, you know, a self-encapsulated story?
Stormborn is a self-standing novel. It's always a good idea with a book series to kind of make that be the case for the first book. But, you know, I think the plan is if this goes over well and it has a good reception, I think everyone, myself and Sea Lion Books, would love to see it go on. But for now, the immediate plan is to do Stormborn. So it's nice because it can end, you know, at the end of that book and it'll be fine. There's a satisfying ending. But there are threads there that I think people would want to see kind of picked up and followed through.
Now, tell us a little bit about the story that's particular to Stormborn. You know, is Eugenie, you know, kind of surprised about her shamanistic abilities? Does, you know, has she always known? Tell us about how that plays into the story.
The story starts off, and she's well entrenched into her freelance shaman career, you know, day to day, let's go beat up a monster or whatever it is. And what really happens to start off this book that makes it different from life as normal is she finds out that a young girl, a 15-year-old girl, has been kidnapped and abducted and taken to the other world. And Eugenie is sort of faced with a moral dilemma there because she hates the idea of this young girl having been kidnapped and subject to who knows what. But, you know, in sort of keeping with the shamanic tradition, she doesn't really, the other world isn't someplace you go in body. You can sort of leave your mind behind and, or I'm sorry, your body behind and go in mind and spirit, but to actually cross over and battle out whatever's on the other side is a very dangerous thing. And she finally decides it's worth the cost because she just can't, you know, accept that, that girl has been kidnapped. And so when she crosses over, she suddenly is introduced to this whole magical world and culture that she starts to realize isn't quite what she thought. She's spent her whole life, you know, battling these creatures, assuming they're totally evil, totally alien. And she starts to kind of get close to some of them and find out some things about her own past that she didn't know. And that's what sort of triggers the events of the rest of the book.
So now when she's fighting these otherworldly beings, are they normally, you know, they've come into our realm and so she dispatches them? Or is this, you know, her going into the spirit realm to do battle?
Usually it's a little of both. Usually it's them coming into our world. And she may have to transition a little out in spirit to fully get rid of something. But usually she can get rid of something either through an actual physical confrontation. You know, it's some beast or creature of sorts, and they have a fight, and she can actually kill it if need be. Or if it's something more spiritual, or if it's like a demon, then it is sort of a banishing to sort of, you know, blast it out of this world and into either the other world or the underworld, the realm of the dead.
Now, more and more, a lot of traditional, I'll call you traditional writers, are segueing into the realm of comics and graphic novels. How did your transition come about?
For the Dark Swan series, I was contacted, or rather, well, my agent was contacted by Sea Lion Books. They had known that my young adult series was going to become a graphic novel, and through Penguin Books, and they were interested in my adult work. And so they contacted my agent, and we sort of started a dialogue about which of the two series to do, because there was Dark Swan and then the Georgina Kincaid Succubus series. And after tossing it around, we decided to go with Dark Swan because she is kind of that strong, you know, action heroine that I think translates really well to a graphic novel format. The other heroine, my succubus, she's kick-ass in her own way too, but she's a thinker. She's like a sleuthing type, and we just thought for this initial run it'd be great to have somebody who's instead thrust out into the middle of the action. And from there we started planning the adaptation for Stormborn.
Okay. Now, obviously, you can't put every word of a novel into a comic or graphic novel. So it took some help, I'm assuming, to make the transition from the written word to the comic page. Can you tell us about that, who you worked with, and how that process went?
Yeah, we have a really fantastic writer working on this project, Grant Alter. And it's exactly right. It's exactly what you said. You can't put every word in there. And there's an art to adaptation of any kind, whether you're turning a book into a comic, if you're turning it into a movie, you can't do it word for word. And I didn't feel confident that I had the skill to transform this on my own into a comic or graphic novel format. You know, I know books. I know how to pace them. I know how to set them out. Comics, I've read them throughout my life, but I just didn't think I could do that alone. And so they got Grant on board, and he's been really great. And, you know, he's nailed that fine line of, you know, okay, what can we cut? What's important? How can we still keep the flavor of the story? And so he's done really good scripts of the whole book. And what we would do is he would do the script, send it to me. I would take a look if there was something I thought hadn't quite come across well, or it wasn't needed or was needed, I could send it back to him. And so that's been really nice because it's been a very collaborative effort. And I think it's getting the best of all the talent that's on board with this project.
Well, I've seen the covers, and I noticed that there's more than one. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, when the first issue comes out, which is May 18th, Comic book stores are also going to be getting a limited edition cover, we call it the incentive cover. And I think for every 10 the store orders, they'll get one of these extra covers, and then those will be available to fans on a first-come, first-served basis. So those who are, you know, very into the series or just, you know, comic collecting in general can take advantage of this. I think there might be some contest associated with the incentive. I heard it being talked about a while ago, but I haven't heard confirmation on it. But I think there's going to be some cool stuff going on with it as well.
So now you've got, you know, there's the covers, and I know Sea Lion has a few pieces of artwork, and you've got some of the artwork on your website and blog. Tell us about, you know, working with the artist and you know, how was he, you know, able to bring Eugenie to life for you?
Oh, it was a similar process to the script. The artist is Dave Hammond. And again, just wonderful, wonderful person to work with, very talented. And it was, again, just super collaborative. You know, they read the book, they had the descriptions, they knew how I had portrayed it in novel format. And then, you know, they would do these sketches of the characters, send those to me, is this it? And then I would give feedback. No, not quite. We need, you know, change the jawline, change the hair, whatever little things there were. And it's hard. I worry so much about being micromanaging or OCD, you know, with this art they're doing. But everyone has just been super open to it. And if I made a suggestion for hair, you know, a few days later, they send me back a modified version. And so once all the character depictions were nailed down, Dave started in on the panels and the scenes. And it was kind of a similar process. You know, every couple weeks or so, I would get a few pages that I would get to check and see, you know, is that depicting the story the way I envisioned it? And for the most part, once we got past what we knew the characters needed to look like, it's just been super easy. He's just really captured it beautifully. And it was just easy to look at those and say, yes, perfect, go for it. So I'm very, very pleased with the way the art's turned out.
Well, I noticed that Mr. Alter is actually in our chat room listening to the show and mentions that the incentive covers a lot of times become a kind of collector's edition because the comic shops oftentimes sell them for more than the traditional cover. So thank you, Mr. Alter, for giving us that piece of information. So after you guys got the basic, you know, framework down of the crucial story elements that, you know, needed to be there and the critical scenes that needed to be depicted, how long did that process, you know, take to where, you know, they can go do their thing and then come back to you? Was it piece by piece, or was it go do a draft, come back, go do a draft, come back?
It's been a little of both. The script was pretty much an entire draft when they sent that to me. They pretty much had the whole thing sort of worked out. Once it was incorporated and the art started coming along and the panels, that was done in batches. So that was spread out over a long period of time where I would get a few pages at a time to review. And I think we've pretty much reached the end now. So soon I expect I'll be seeing the entire, you know, work as a whole sort of as a proof to look at it and see how it's all come together.
So it's finished up as we speak.
Yes, it is. It's they've completed all the art. I haven't seen the entire colored version. I think that's what we're waiting on because, you know, they start with the black and white first to make sure, you know, it's looking the way it should. So now that that's all been approved and finalized, we'll get the color in there and then we're going to be good to go.
Cool. Now, so we're expecting the release of the first issue of the comic book in stores May 18th. Is that correct?
Yes.
Do we know how many issues that it's going to be to tell the whole Stormborn story?
I believe it's four. And
okay.
So that would be May, June, July, August. And then the last I heard, and sometimes I get the dates wrong or they change, is that perhaps a compilation as early as September for the, you know, the bound volume of all of them. But the issues will be released one by one over the summer.
Now, I'm sure you have thousands of fans, and they probably all know that you are a redhead, and your heroine is also a redhead. How much of you is in Eugenie Markham?
Not that much. You know, I couldn't throw a punch to save my life, so we certainly don't have that in common. She, you know, she kind of likes 80s music, so I'm kind of reflecting my age, I suppose, and giving her that love. But not too much, really. The red hair is the only similarity, and that was actually a last-minute change. When I was writing the novel, she actually started out with black hair. And I was looking at a lot of the books in my genre that had come out around the same time, and for some reason all the action heroines at that time were dark-haired. And I don't know if there's an image or a stereotype that if you're a tough woman, you can't be a blonde or a redhead, but it suddenly struck me. I was like, you know, let's separate her out. So I gave her red hair, and now the association is with me, which wasn't entirely intentional, but there we go.
Well, Mr. Alter has let us know that there's actually going to be 8 issues in the series
before
the compilation comes out. One thing that I'm looking forward to, and this is going to be actually before the comic comes out, so I won't have anything in my hands for you to sign, I'm afraid, but I'm looking forward to meeting you at the RT Book Lovers Convention in Los Angeles the first week of April. Is that
Are you going
that
to
you
be
normally
there?
Go to, or is this something that you're going specifically to promote the Dark Swan graphic novel?
I know. This is a convention I've been going to, I want to say, about 4 years now, and it's a great time. It's oriented, you know, it is the Romantic Times Book Lovers Convention, so there's this emphasis on romance novels. But seriously, every kind of genre you can think of is represented there. There's sci-fi authors, mystery authors there. And recently, yeah, there's been a big graphic novel push. So it works out really well. I would have been there anyways to talk about my other series. And with Dark Swan coming out soon, the timing fell out really well that I'll be around to do that. So I think they're going to have posters there that a lot of the authors who are attending the con who have graphic novels out, it's going to be sort of this collage of different images from the various graphic novels, and there'll be some Dark Swan art on there, and so I'll be autographing those while I'm at the con.
Well, I've got some contacts at Sea Line. I'm going to see if I can pull some strings. Here's a question off the chat board. Did the names of your characters come to you easily, or does it take you a long time to decide what you're going to name your characters?
I do put a lot of thought into the main characters' names. They have to feel right to me. It's not about meaning or anything. I know there's some authors who want a character's name to mean what that character is like. For me, there's just kind of there's a sound, there's a rhythm, and so I can take some time. Sometimes it'll come real quick. You flip through a book, and you know, bam, there's that name, and that's the perfect character name. But other times it can be a long process, and I actually can't start writing a new manuscript if my main characters aren't named. So it can be a lengthy process. The side characters are much easier. They often just have, you know, that first name that comes to mind and works for them.
Well, now, Eugenie, I've heard, you know, I know there's an author who's Eugenia Price. I've heard Eugenia. I've never heard Eugenie. Is that a nickname or is that her given name?
That is her given name. If you followed British royalty, that's, I think that's, or is she Eugenie? Someone can probably correct me. I thought there's a British princess named Eugenie, but it's the French form of Eugenia. So,
okay.
So it sounds like a nickname to our ears because it ends in that IE that we often use.
Right.
But it's a name unto itself.
Okay. Before we get any further, I definitely don't want to end this show without letting our listeners know how they can find out more about you. So if you could give us, I know you've got a website, you've got a blog, a lot of different things that you've got going. Where can people find you online?
Everywhere. I'm everywhere you want to be on the internet.
I know you're on
Facebook. Some places I don't want to be on the internet. Yeah, Facebook, Twitter, I'm on both of those. I update those regularly. I do run a blog as well that I do try to keep up with a few times a week, if not more. And, of course, RochelleMead.com is my main website, and that's kind of the definitive source for, okay, when is this book coming out? What's the status of this? So if you just, you know, want facts about the books, what they're about, when you can get them, how you can order them, that's all at RochelleMead.com. And that will also route you to all the other, the satellite sites, the blog, and the social networking sites as well.
Okay. And that's Rochelle, R-I-C-H-E-L-L-E, mead.com.
Yeah, perfect.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I had a friend named Rochelle who was R-A, so I wanted to make sure I made that distinction so people were able to find you the first time. A segue, another question from the chat room. Apparently all of your fans are well aware that you are expecting and want to know, with all of these things that it sounds like are coming out with graphic novels and new books, are you planning on taking a break from writing when your baby comes?
Not a hard break. I mean, I'm certainly not going to be taking 6 months off or anything like that. My schedule works out quite nicely in that I have three books coming out the same week the baby's due, which sounds frightening at first, except you have to realize when books come out, they're done. They were done a long time ago.
Right.
And so that means there aren't going to be any fresh projects on my plate when the baby comes. These are all being finished right now. So things are a little harried at the moment because I'm trying to get my ducks in a row for August when the baby comes. But, you know, there'll be a natural break in my schedule right around that time. And then, you know, I'll probably keep going with it. You know, self-employment sounds very luxurious, but, you know, there are schedules to meet, there are contracts I'm obligated to meet, and it should all still be very manageable, so they don't have to worry. The books will keep coming.
Well, you obviously have many, many avid fans, as I can tell by several of these folks on the chat room. Sam Kuntz says, Rochelle is the most awesome author ever. And ask
Aww.
If you are ever considering branching outside of paranormal.
You know, it is something I would like to do. I've always been a fan of sci-fi and epic fantasy, so it would be great to do someday. At the moment, partially because I'm contracted in paranormal, you know, it's not anything I can leave right away because I have to deliver these books to my publishers. So that's not going to change. And plus, when your audience is in that genre, you have to make sure they're going to jump with you if you go. You know, there are probably some people that wouldn't stay with me if I suddenly started writing Scottish historical romances or something
sure.
like
from
that.
I'm not sure. From the looks of some of these fans, they're with you all the way.
They are, and I am so lucky. I have the best fans ever. They're so dedicated, and they're so wonderful. But it's something, you know, we're kind of in it for the paranormal ride at the moment. But, you know, I have a lot of years ahead of me to write, and I certainly can't imagine writing that for the rest of my life.
Well, I just want to thank you so much for joining me. I just want to kind of recap. Sam Kuntz says that he would follow you to Scottish romance.
Excellent. Well, good to know.
So the Dark Swan series, first book, Stormborn, premieres May 18th, issue one of an 8-issue series from Sea Lion Books. You can find out more at clionbooks.com, or you can also go to Rochelle's website at rochellemead.com. We're looking forward to that. Rochelle's also going to be at the Romantic Times Book Convention in Los Angeles, California. I believe that's April 6th through the 9th.
Mm-hmm.
Real quick, if we can fit one in, if you have one tip that you can give to an aspiring author, what is it?
To write what you're passionate about. It's very easy for people to get worried about what's trendy or what's going to sell. When you're writing that first story, just don't even think about that. Write what burns inside of you and what you're interested in, because that's what makes good writing.
Well, Rochelle, I just want to thank you so much. It seems like, you know, 30 minutes just has flown by, and it seems like it's only been about 5. Thank you so much for joining us tonight on Behind the Mask.
Thank you so much. It was great talking to you.
And thank you to all of our listeners. My name is Ted English, and thank you for joining us on Behind the Mask. Everybody have a good night.